Amen. Amen. So when I was growing up, now we I grew up in church, and you guys all know my dad, most of y'all, but some of y'all don't, but we prayed a lot, right? But honestly, the majority of my prayer life was before I ate, right? Or before my dad was coming home when I did something I wasn't supposed to. I prayed a lot at that point of my life. But that's what my prayer life consisted of. And this is the thing. A lot of us in our lives, we don't really understand how important prayer is. What the scripture says about it. Now, we understand that he says pray without ceasing. And we understand all these different things. But when the time really comes down to it, instead of going to God, how many of you know we do other stuff? We go to people and say, oh, I got this issue. And we will pray if they say, well, let's pray about it. But how much time do we spend before God allowing those things to happen? We pray, God is great, God is good. Let us thank him for his food. We pray, I don't know, when I was a kid, I prayed this one, not around my dad, but it was good God, good food, good meat, good God, let's eat, right? I prayed that one. I pray, now lay me down to sleep. Pray my Lord my soul to keep. That's a creepy one, man. If I die before I wake, pray the Lord my soul. I don't want to go to sleep now, Ma. You know, it's just rough, right? We pray, God, please bless this footlong chili cheese cone dog and make it somehow helpful to my body, right? Like how do we do that constantly. We pray safe prayers. We pray things that are like, God, help me. God, keep me safe. Keep my family safe. God, protect me from this stuff that's going on. And those are prayers that we should pray. Amen? But how many of you know if that's the extent of our prayers, we're totally missing the point of prayer. We're totally missing the point of prayer. Last week we talked about God, make us bold. Dangerous prayer. That's a dangerous prayer because you know what? God's going to give you opportunities to be bold. Right? You pray for patience. God, give me patience. He said, you didn't use what I gave you to start with. Why are you going to pray for some more, right? But understanding when we pray that prayer, guess what happens? When we pray for patience, when we pray for God to help us with our anger, and we should do those things, but we have to understand that God is going to give us opportunities to be patient. We're going to go to Walmart, and they're going to have one line open and 72 people in front of us, right? And all the self-checkouts are closed, right? So that happens, right? We're going to go someplace and our patience is going to be tested. Our kids are going to be super crazy that day and not listen to nothing. Like, how's that different than any other day? Well, you know, sometimes they're my kids. I love them. But it's one of those situations that God gives us opportunities when we ask him for those. And then we're mad. God, how come it's like, man, I'm teaching you patience, right? God, help me with my anger. He's going to give you some opportunities. He's going to make you angry, right? And you're going to say, God, I thought you were helping me. He's like, I am. You're not doing so good at this one. Let's try again, right? Let's try again. We got to understand that we pray certain prayers that we should pray, but we have to understand the consequences of these prayers that we are about to pray. God, make me bold. He's going to give us some opportunities to be bold. Look in the scripture at the people who are bold. How were they bold? In the middle of going to jail, being beaten. All these different things. You see, the boldness that they had to have was in the middle of huge confrontation, right? I have some trivia for you. You guys ready? When God spoke in the Old Testament or in the Bible, did what he say, was what he asked them to do easy or hard? How many times did you hear God pray a prayer that was like, that a boy, man? You never saw that, right? Like, you're doing great. Keep going. No, it's like, hey, man, that was good, but here comes another one. Get ready, right? We see it over and over and over. Noah, right? He calls to Noah. Noah, build an ark. What's an ark? It was a very large boat. And then what I want you to do is go get two animals of every kind on the planet and put them in this ark together. And I need you to get the food that they need for it. I need to get everything that they have. And then I need you to tell everybody that it's going to rain. Okay, what's rain, right? It had never rained on the earth before. It had never done all those things. He says, I need you to go and do this. And then I need you to restart the whole human race. Like, is that not pressure? That's an easy thing for him to do? No, it's difficult. We look at Jonah. God calls Jonah, go to Nineveh, the most vile, evil, wicked place on the earth, and tell them that they need to repent or repent or die, basically, right? Repent or die. How easy is that, right? We can't even say God loves you in the middle of a supermarket, much less, right? go and tell a whole place that is violent and evil and wicked that God loves them and they need to change or something bad's going to happen to them. Right? That's an easy one. Right? Hope we get that one. How about Mary? You're an unwed teenager and you're about to have the Messiah. You live in a culture where if women have sexual relations before they get married, that they can be stoned, they can be killed, right? And you're gonna carry the Messiah. You're gonna raise him. You're gonna teach him how he should and shouldn't be, what he should and shouldn't do, right? Tell me that's an easy one. It's not. See, when God spoke to people in the scripture, it wasn't easy. Let's. You know, tack hell with a water pistol kind of a thing, right? It was very, very difficult tasks that were put on us. We pray, God, keep my life easy. Keep me from not having harm. Keep me in the safest way possible. And when trial and tribulation comes, we say, God, where did you go? He's like, man, I put you right here for a reason. For a reason. We need to understand. We're going to talk today about two people, or three people actually, but it's going to be in two different blocks of scripture. We're going to talk about Samuel. Samuel was, at this point in the scripture, was a 12-year-old boy. His mother prayed that she would have a son. She said, I'll give him back to you. She took him to Eli in the temple, and he's working in the temple and doing what God had called him to do. And then this is what happens. We're going to read 1 Samuel 3, verses 1 through 18. I know it's a lot of reading, but just stick with me. We're going to stop kind of in the middle, so it'll give you a break. Ready? It says, now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. I want you to think about just one thing, and then I'm going to keep going. Samuel was not in his regular place. He was doing something different, right? Eli was in his place, but Samuel was in the presence of God, by the throne of God. It's important for us to deviate from what we normally do and spend a lot more time in the presence of God. Amen? You want God to speak with you? That's one of the ingredients. You ready? Number two. We're going to keep going. It's not number two. I didn't even put a number in there yet. Then the Lord called to Samuel and said, excuse me. Then the Lord called to Samuel and he said, here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call you. Go lie down again. And so when he went and lied down, the Lord called to Samuel. Samuel arose, went to Eli, said, here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call you, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A lot of us in our lives, we don't understand the voice of the Lord. And the problem is there's so many voices that are coming at us that we don't know which one to follow because we're not comfortable with it, right? So I used to play a game when I was a youth pastor, right? And and I definitely did it when we had visitors. It was amazing. But what we would do is we would have one person come up on the stage and they would sit there in his chair. And then I would go and I would pick one person and I would have them call their name, right? So if I had Jimmy up here, I would go and I would have Nick call his name. And he'd say, Jimmy. However he wanted to say it, but he would say, Jimmy, Jimmy. And then it would be Jim's turn to turn around and pick who talked to him. But you know what? I always pick the visitor. Why? Because they don't know their voice. How difficult is it to pick out someone if you do not know their voice? When my kids call me daddy, sometimes because kids' voices are a lot alike, but when my kid says dad or daddy, I know that that's my kid talking to me, right? And I can hear other people, like yesterday, I heard Charlotte say, daddy. I knew that wasn't my kid. Why? Because I know my kid. I know her voice, right? A lot of us don't understand and don't really know God's voice, and so it's hard for us to be able to do what he's asked us to do. How do we do that? I'm gonna read two more things of scripture, and then I'm gonna two more verses, and then I'm going to get to that. And the Lord said to Samuel again a third time, and he rose and went to Eli, and here I am, for you called me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, go lie down. If he calls you, you shall say, speak, Lord, your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. A lot of time, God speaks to us directly. We don't understand it. We look for people to speak God's word into our life instead of hearing it from God. We look for people that we feel are more learned in the scripture, or they know more, or maybe they've prophesied before in the future in our lives. And so we want to go to them so that they can tell us what God wants to say. I want to tell you today, God wants to speak to you. Not through someone else to you. He wants to speak to you. But again, the problem is we don't understand his voice. We don't yet know his voice. And how many of you know the world's voice is so much louder than his in our lives at times? If you look around, everything that's coming at you is telling you who you should be, what you should do, what you should believe, the way you should dress, everything. And then it condemns you for walking the way that you honestly should walk. And it makes it a lot more difficult. How do we learn to hear God's voice? Point one, send your notes. Get ready. We need to be still. We need to be still. Our lives are so full, man. So full of things, running here, running there, doing this, doing that. Again, you ask most people, how's it going? How's your day going? Like, man, I'm busy. I'm busy. Sometimes we even wear that like a badge. But how many of you know, you can be so busy and do absolutely nothing. You can be so busy at doing things and do absolutely nothing. I was talking about with the guys yesterday at men's breakfast, man. It's one of those things that we get so many things going on in our life that we get so busy, we end up majoring on the minors and minoring on the majors. We put the things that aren't that important before everything else that is super, super important. Let me tell you something. One of the most important things in my life is God first, then my wife, then my kids. I'm sorry, y'all come after all of that, right? Why? Because Scripture says, if I can't take care of my family, how can I minister to other people, right? My kids are so important. Now, do my kids sit on the back burner sometimes because I have other things to do? They do a lot. And I explain to them why and what's going on, and we do those things. And then, you know what? I block out time just for my kids. Why? So I can teach them. Every night before we go to bed, we read Scripture. We read at least a chapter of Scripture every night. And we take turns reading it. So my wife will read a little. I'll read a little. My kids will read a little. We help the littlest one read a little. Belle, she's not all that great at reading, especially words in the Bible. Because how many of you are not great at reading words in the Bible already? Right? What? I don't. Just say the these, babe. You'll be all right, right? Anyway, it's one of those things. We need to take time and do the important things. One of the most important things when we're waiting to hear God's voice is for us to shut up. How about if I call Dwayne on the phone? And I say, hey, Dwayne, how you doing? Listen, I need you to do this, and then I need you to do this. Can you do that for me? Okay, thank you. Bye. Dwayne's like, I. Some of y'all know that conversation because that's what we have right now all the time. I'm sorry. I try. But if I don't ever let him answer, is that a conversation? What is prayer? It's talking to God. It's a conversation with God, us spending time with him. How can I learn anything about what God wants to me other than reading in his word? We're going to get to that in a minute. But how can I hear from God if I don't stop talking? If I don't sit long enough just to allow him? If we have an extra hour, man, we're going to watch Netflix for an hour, right? Or we're going to be on social media for an hour instead of spending time with God. We get so busy with other things, man, gym, video games, reading, all these other things. We need to block out some time and give it just to God. And I'm going to tell you this. I've said this the last couple of times, and it's a statement that, and I preached it in one of my messages here not too long ago. But anyway, instead of saying I don't have enough time, I'm too busy for that, I want you to change the I'm too busy to another statement. Are you guys ready? It's just not that important to me. Because that's what ends up happening. Because you do the things that you really want to do. Amen? You say, I don't have time to sit for an hour and just let God speak to me or turn on some music and just be there. I don't have time to do that. Then you're entirely too busy. Because the first person that our life should revolve around is God. Amen. Everyone else should be second fiddle. Everyone else should take longer, man. We need to be quiet and listen. We need to slow our pace. We need to turn the volume of the world down. And we need to get alone and pray. How many of you know Jesus went alone all the time for time of refreshing? Had thousands of people following him. And he's like, look, y'all stay here. I got to have my own time, right? My wife, she's a alone time person. Like I don't understand that. I'm the last kid. We had six people in my house when I came, right? If I'm not around 100 people, 50 people, I'm miserable. This whole thing, if they make us stay at our home, I'll be crazy when we get out, right? Why? Not because of my wife and my kids, it's because that's what I thrive on that, right? My wife, not so much, right? She's totally good. She told me, she made me mad. I was sad. I was upset. Just all of them came at one time. It was just so overwhelming. Anyway, I would go shopping with her at Walmart. I'd wait till her. She got off. When we used to shop, we don't do that no more. We call and they bring it to us. Anyway, we used to go shopping and walk around Walmart all together, right? And we would walk around and she told me one day, she's like, can y'all just not go shopping with me? I'm like, what, you don't want to hang out with us? She's like, no. She's like, it's not that at all. She said, but when we go, we end up spending $75 to $100 more than what we spent. And then I have no peace and quiet because I'm trying to talk to you about, can you buy this? Can you buy this? And then you come, can I buy this? You know, and I'm like, no, no. She's like, I just want some alone time. I just want some alone time, right? We start working out in the morning. She's very, she likes doing it. She likes going, but it's one of those situations. She's like, that was a time where I sat and y'all were all asleep and it was me time. And now you've taken that from me. I'm like, I'm sorry. Go shopping by yourself then, baby. It'll be all right. But it's one of those situations. We need some alone time to unwind, and again, most of our unwind time is on social media or watching TV. Just to be honest, that's where our world is at. We need to start unwinding and allowing God to give us rest. Amen? It's what his scripture says. We need to turn it down. Jesus said, man, don't be hypocrites and pray out in front of everywhere. Go get alone in your own closet and pray. Spend some time in God's presence. One of my most memorable youth camps when we were in Apopka Assembly, man, Les Lust did this one. He took us to Tennessee. And we were there, Gatlinburg, and the whole premise behind the thing was be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted among the earth. That's the first time that I ever even knew anything about meditating on God's word, getting alone and stopping talking, which is, again, is difficult for me. But it's one of those things that once you learn how to do that and to sit, you'll hear God more than you've ever heard him before in your life. Why? Because, one, you're looking for it. How many of you know if you seek, you find? Right? Two, you're asking for it. You ask and you receive, right? We need to do that. We need to find some times to get alone from God. Now, how does God speak to us in those times that we're alone with him? Does he speak? He speaks through our word. Through his word. Sorry, not our words. And through his words. He guides us, he directs us, he corrects us. How many of you know all that's in there? The way that we need to do our life, the way that we need to focus on who we are and what we do and the people that we allow to be in our life, it is in here. Our standards. How many of you know standards of the world are way, way far from what they should be? And now if you speak the standards of God, that you're out there, or you don't love people, or you're a fanatic, right? It's not the norm to love God and to follow his word. One of the biggest things that they say now that's so wrong, and it comes from the church. You guys ready? If I tell you that you need to live your life to the standards according to God, I'm trying to say this delicately because it's kind of a half-truth. You know, half-truths are the most dangerous things that they are because they contain a little bit of the truth but a lot of not truth, or half of it anyway, right, if it's a half-truth. This is what happens. You're trying to put legalism on me, and I'm under grace. Let me tell you something about this. I believe in the grace of God. The grace of God is there for you and for me. And us living under the dispensation of grace doesn't mean that we will not face judgment for what we've done. Right now is grace deferred. Is judgment deferred, right? Because we're all going to stand in front of him for the actions that we do, the things that we do. It says every idle word we'll give an account for. Right? So everything that we have, but one of the biggest things is I say, you need to live your life by these standards. Like, well, that's law. I'm not under the law anymore. Jesus said he didn't come to do away with the law, but that it might be fulfilled through him so that we could have a way out, right? We could have a way to the Father. Is grace a part of our lives? Yes, it is, in the right place, right? How many of you know if you take anything and you take too much of it, it's not good? Look, you want an earthly principle? Salt. Salt is amazing. But have you ever had somebody play that trick where they took the salt open and they dump it and you dump it all over your food? It's not any good anymore, right? Why? Because it's not the right amount of what needs to be in our life. The grace of Jesus covers everything that we have, every sin that we have, and we can have freedom from it. But that doesn't mean that we can sin and do whatever we want and expect God to forgive us for it. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. God gives us these principles for that reason. The second way that God speaks to us is through people sometimes. Do you know what? My wife, God speaks to me through my wife more than y'all ever could imagine. Right? I call her the Holy Spirit's little sister, right? That's what she is. That's what she is, man, in my life. You know what? God can speak through a godly friend. God can speak through someone who doesn't even know that they're being used, right? Again, I told you, when I went through the heart cath and I did all those things, God spoke to me through what my doctor said. He didn't have any clue, but it was the word that he used. It was the word that he used. We prayed right here. Again, as Rusty says, prayer works. We prayed right here the Tuesday before I went on the Thursday, and I said, this is what I hear in my voice. This is what I hear in my head. It's the only thing, and I know it's out of context, but that's okay. It says, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit in me. David prayed that because he had sinned, and he wanted God to forgive him. I wanted a clean heart. Amen. And do you know what he said? He said, your heart and your arteries are pristine. I'm like, that's great. I don't know what that means. I know it's good, but I don't know what it means. Do you know what pristine means? Fresh or clean, as if it were made new. That was God speaking to me, right? Through someone who didn't even know they were going to be used. God speaks to us through people constantly. But do you know what? A lot of times, like everything else in our life, we miss it because we're not looking for God to speak. We're not looking for God to speak. We're not expecting it. God speaks through circumstances in our life. He opens doors. He closes doors. How many of you know a lot of you won't change until, again, the pain of change comes greater than that of staying the same? That's a worldly principle. That's a worldly saying, but it's so true. I will stay right here until it's so painful that I'll go to where I'm supposed to actually be. How many of you have ever thanked God for a closed door? Most of us don't. Most of us honestly don't. Most of us are mad and want to kick the door. But how many of you know he says he'll open the doors for us, right? When we open the doors ourselves, we end up with problems that haunt not only us, but our generations to come. Look at Abraham, Sarah, right? Ishmael, Isaac, right? Look at those. Look at those. Did I say it wrong? No, I said it right. Ishmael, Isaac, look at those. We end up creating more problems. The wars that's being fought over there today is because of the two bloodlines today. Thousands of years later. God speaks to us through our circumstances. And then the last thing I'm going to talk about right now is he speaks through us through his spirit. He prompts us, he moves us, he leads us. I'm not sure why, but I think I'm supposed to do this, right? One of the hardest moves I've ever made in my life when it came to ministry, it was most difficult, was when we left the first place where we were kids pastors. We had been there for 4 years, called Heartsease Family Life Center. Some of you guys remember Phil, Pastor Philip. We took a group from here years ago and came up there to our youth camps and stuff. We were there. And the hardest thing for me to do was move from there because everything was going great. Everything was the way it should be. I was on staff a couple days a week and doing other stuff, and we were working towards getting me on full-time staff, and we were doing all these things, and everything was great. And God's like, you're not supposed to be here. I'm like, but why? but why? And I didn't understand it, and I talked with April, and we talked about it, and she didn't feel that way. And so how many of you know we do things together? I don't just say, this is what we're doing. We talk together. She's the helpmate according to Scripture, but she helps me stay out of trouble. That's what she does. That's why I listen to her, right? As much as she can help me out of trouble. But it's one of those things. The hardest move was to leave there and go someplace else. And when I went and sat down with my pastor, when I went and sat down with Philip, he said, man, he said, where are you going to go? I was like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I just think I'm supposed to leave. And he said, well, is that very smart? And at that time, it was like I got hit in the chest. I'm like, well, I don't know. Is that really smart? And then I started thinking. I was like, I feel like Abraham when God said, go from here to a place that I'll show you when you get there. But you know what? Until I left that place, I couldn't go to where God had for me, right? Some of us are clinging on to the place that we need to let go so God can't take us to the promised land, right? God can't take us to where we need to be because we're still holding on and staying there. And what ends up happening, we end up hurting ourselves and others because we're where we're not supposed to be. They said, well, I'm not hurting anybody but myself. No, no, no. You're hurting a couple of people, right? So I'm the kids pastor there. I don't leave and go where I'm supposed to be. The person that God's called to ministry can't come and fill that place, right? And then the place that I'm supposed to go, the ministry God has for me there, I'm not there. So somebody else is out of their place, right? Which in turn puts somebody out of there. You guys get what I'm saying? When we're obedient to God, it ends up helping not only me, but you be in the place you're supposed to be. We need to listen to the Spirit. We need to allow him to show us. Be still. Maybe we need to ask God, what do you want me to pray for? God, I don't know what to pray for. What do you want me to pray for? And then stop and be quiet and sit there. And you know what? The Holy Spirit will drop things into your spirit for you to pray for. Things will come to you that you never thought of before. People will come into your heart, into your mind. God, the Holy Spirit will drop people into your heart that you need to pray for, that need it at that moment, that you have no clue as to what they need, but they're just on your mind. So you know what you need to do? Two things, because it's today. They didn't have this in the Bible. I'm sure he would have put that in there, right? Two things you need to do. First thing, you need to stop. You need to pray. The second thing you need to call them or text them and say, I'm praying for you, because they may need it at that moment. They may be so weak at that moment. They're like, nobody cares. Nobody understands. It's something I'm going through all by myself. And they get a text from you. Man, God put you on my heart. I love you. And I was like, you do care, God. You do care. People do care. We think of it as just a thought. Oh, my mind, it's just a thought that comes into my mind. It may be God speaking to you saying, that person is in need at this moment. Pray. Pray. Some of us are upset because we get woke up in the middle of the night. We can't sleep. Start praying about stuff. God, why am I awake right now? Help me. You know what? You go sleep fast. Right? That would be like, no, go back to sleep. Don't go to God. Don't go to God. We need to understand, man. We need to listen. We need to recognize his voice. We want to do that. We need to be still. We need to ask him. We need to say exactly what Samuel said. God, I'm listening. And then stop. And let him speak to us. The second thing we need to do is be willing. Be willing. Often our prayers are long babblings about what we want God to do for us. Keep me safe. Heal this headache. Save my boss because he's the one who gave me the headache. You know, all those different things come into our mind. What if instead of coming to God with a wish list, we came with a blank page? What if we came to him and said, God, speak to me about what I need to do. What I need to do. God, speak to me about the people I need to minister to. God, speak to me about how I share your word the best. Speak to me about these things. Because how many of you know he answers our prayers. He speaks to us. How about instead of giving him things we want him to do, if you want to give him a list of things to do, how about we give him a good list? You ready? God, show me my sins. Show me the reasons why I do the things that I'm doing. Show me the reasons why it seems like I'm always going back to that one thing and I can't lay it down. Show me what I need to do in order to help with this process. Does that mean, you know, God can take you things, he can take things away from you, but only if you let him go. Only if you let him go. He'll let you hold on to it for as long as you want to. And a lot of times we go through that situation, we go through it, and it takes us going through something devastating, pain of staying the same, so that we can be changed into who he wants us to be. We need to let go. God, show me how to love my husband or my wife that's not following you, That's not following the, what your word says about how we should do the things that we should do. Show me how to deal with it. Show me the things to say or not say. Show me the things to say to my kids or not say to my kids to bring them to you. Show me how to pray so that they would come and find you. Show me how to use my gifts. Show me what my gifts are. And be silent. Be willing to do what he calls you to do. What did Samuel say? Speak, Lord, I'm listening. Speak, Lord, I'm willing to do what you have for me to do. Because the scripture says this, that when we acknowledge his ways, Proverbs 3:6, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Maybe your life seems kind of skewed right now, and you need it to be straight. You need to acknowledge him in everything that you do, not just part of it. How many of you know when you give your life to God, it's giving your life to God, not compartmentalizing it and giving him only certain things, right? Look, when I have people in my house visiting, I told Andre and Anastasia, everything here is yours. You could do whatever you want to do. I did warn them about some rooms they should probably stay out of, right? But if you want to go in there, go ahead, right? We invite him into our lives, and then we say, you can go everywhere but in this place here, God. You can have everything but that there, God. That belongs to me. But if you remember, everything we have belongs to him. We're given everything that we have, including our bodies and our life, to be good stewards of for him. And it brings glory to him. I want to give you a warning, though, about asking him to show you things. How many of you ever showed somebody something that they needed to do first, and they didn't do it, and they came back to you with the same problem, saying, I don't understand. This problem's still here. Well, did you do what I told you to do last time? They're like, well, no. Like, okay, go work on that. Then come back and we'll work on something else, right? But until you take care of this part, you can't take care of this part, right? Let me go to school. I'm going to break it down because I got to make it simple, right? Until I learn math, adding and subtracting, I can't move on to multiplication and division, right? Until I learn how to count from 1 to 10, from 10 to 20, 20 to 30, I can't go on further than that, right? But we go to God with our problem and say, God, fix my problem. Help me with my problem. Show me what I need to do with my problem. He says, you need to do this. I'm like, well, I don't want to do that. That's difficult. I just want you to fix the problem and let me do what I want to do. It's not the way it works. It's not the way it works. God, I don't sense you. I don't feel your presence. Maybe he isn't showing you what to do in your future because you haven't done what he told you to do in the past with your life. Just a thought. Number three, the thing that we see in Samuel is that he was ready. What time is it? Oh, I gotta hurry. I put too much on my paper, y'all. I need to cut it in half. It needs to be ready. Well, I could split it up into 2 weeks, you know? I talk a lot about peanut butter and other things. Be ready, number three. 2 Timothy 4:2. And I'm going to read through 5. I added some. I'm just going to keep reading. Sorry. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears that will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Now, he's talking to Timothy there, but how many of you know we're all called to the ministry of reconciliation? We may not be evangelists, but we're all called to evangelize. We're all called to reach people. And we need to understand and know what we should do, how we should do it. And how do we do that? By learning to God, being willing to do things. But now, remember, when God speaks, we might not want to hear what he says. We might not want to hear what he says. Samuel didn't want to hear what God said to him. He's like, speak, I'm here. He didn't understand what he was asking, right? He didn't understand what God was going to give him to do. Say, God, I want to hear you. He might say, you know, you need to start leading a Bible study. You need to start doing this. It scares you to death because I can't do that. I don't even know if God's called you to do it, you can do it. I'm be 100% honest with you. We read a scripture. We misquote a scripture all the time. All the time. I just saw it the other day. It says, God doesn't put more on you than you can handle. That's a lie. That's a lie. He puts things on you that you need his help to handle. He puts ministry in your path. Moses, I stutter. I can't do these things. God says, I'm going to call you to go and speak in front of everything. Not seeing. See, Moses didn't understand God had ever given him every tool that he needed to be able to do what he had done. But he didn't put them all together, right? He grew up in Pharaoh's court. He knew how to speak. He knew what he should and shouldn't do. He knew the customs, the culture. He knew everything he needed to know to be able to do what God was going to send him to do. But when God came to him, he said, I can't do this. I can't do this. What did God tell Gideon when he said, he can't do this? Go in this might, mighty man of God. Whose might was it? It wasn't Gideon's. It was God's. God gives us tasks to do that are impossible for me to do on my own. Because if I could do these things on my own, it wouldn't be righteousness, it would be self-righteousness. He may be leading you to be radically generous. He may be leading you to move to a different place or change schools or go back to school or change careers or do something that you're like, I can't do that. But if he's leading you to do it, you can, because he's going to help you do it. Maybe I need to get rid of some relationships or do things differently. Like, I can't do that. If God's calling you to do it, then you can. Think this thought. Every time God spoke, every time, even with his disciples, he used unprepared, unequipped, and unqualified people to do exactly what he wanted them to do. And guess what? They were able to do it. The good chance when God calls you to do something, it's going to be scary, it's going to be intimidating, it's going to seem impossible, and it takes faith to be able to do it. How do we receive anything from God? By faith. By faith. We see Samuel here says, God, speak to me. I'm here. Speak. Your servant hears. Verse 10, and the Lord came and stood calling as the other time, Samuel, Samuel. Samuel asked, speak, for your servant hears. Then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I'm about to do a new thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. And on that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from the beginning to the end. And I will declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew because his sons were blaspheming God and did not restrain them. Let me tell you something. If you're sitting back watching it happen, you're as guilty as the one doing it. What that said. He was unwilling to take care of his kids. He was unwilling. They were going around. They were doing all the things. If you want to read a chapter earlier, find out what they were doing. All the things that they were not supposed to do, that's what they were doing. And he heard about it. He knew about it. And he did nothing about it. And because of it, what happened? He was held accountable for it. He was held accountable for it. Blaspheming God. He did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. Now, here's the part Samuel doesn't want to do. Right? You ready? He didn't tell him what to do right then, but he gave him, you'll see. Verse 15, Samuel lay there until the morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called to Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he said, here I am. And Eli said, what is it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more if you hide anything from me of all that he has told you. So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, the Lord, it is the Lord. Let him do with what seems good to him, is what Eli said. This is what ends up happening. Samuel had to point out sin that was going on. Samuel had to say, hey, if you don't straighten up, if you don't do what God said, actually it's too late. It's coming now because you didn't do what you were supposed to. Remember, now we live under grace and we can go and ask for forgiveness. We don't get punished straight away, right? It's not until the day we stand before him, according to Scripture. But when God gives us something to say, when he speaks to us, there's two main things that it says. And then I'm going to stop. You guys ready? I'm going to make it quick. He speaks to us about repentance in our own lives. He speaks to us about repentance, changing things that need to be changed. Acts 9, 1 through 9, actually it's 1 through 19, and I'm going to split it up, right? Paul said, still breathing threats against the church, the disciples of the Lord went to the high priest, asked him for letters to the synagogue at Damascus, so if he found any belonging to the way, that's Christians, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And now when he was on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him, falling to the ground, heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. Saul arose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So that they led him by hand and brought him to Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight, and he neither ate nor drank. God spoke to him and said, what you're doing is wrong. It needs to change. So again, Paul at this moment is doing everything that he thought he should do. He was doing everything that he was taught to do, everything that he thought was right to do, according to what he knew about the Scriptures, right? Now, he studied the Scriptures. He studied under Gamaliel. He knew everything, a lot more than what most people do about the Scriptures and about how he was supposed to act. And he thought he was doing everything the way he was supposed to do it until God met him, until he heard the voice of God, and he said, Jesus said, hey, it's me. I'm the one you're persecuting. He said, I'm doing it wrong. I need to change. I'm doing it wrong. I need to change. God convicts us. He shows us areas that we need to change. And he shows us it not so that we can beat ourselves up and say how horrible we are and how we're not doing what we're supposed to do. He's showing it to us so that we can change. We have an opportunity to change. Why do I point stuff out to my kids that they're doing wrong? Because I want them to feel bad. No, I want them to do things right. I love them. I care about them. I want them to change and be who God created them to be. And I know that the principles that my wife and I are trying to instill in them are going to help them in that process. I don't want my kids. I've told my kids time and time again, I don't want my kids to think that because of my relationship with God, they're okay. Because according to Scripture, they're not. They have to make that decision. But if I teach them the right things to do and they choose not to do it, that's on them. And I'll pray for them, and I'll love them, and I'll walk through them, but I'm always going to tell them what's right and what's wrong. Amen. I love you. My dad told me that. Bring me home from... He said, I love you, but the drugs can't come. I love you, you'll be working at my house, but you can't keep that. If you want to be a part of my family, you have to let some things go. You know what God's speaking to us? I want you to be a part of my family. I sent my son to die for you, and I want you to be a part of it, but you have to let some things go. God speaks to us about repentance. The next thing that he does is he speaks to us about ministry, about using what he's given to us to help other people. Acts, we're going to continue right on, chapter, verse 10. Now, there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias... And he said, here I am, Lord. Again, you notice the common theme here when God speaks to him. What do they say? Here I am, I'm listening, right? Here I am, Lord. He said to them, rise and go to a street called Straight in the house of Judas. Look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying. And he has seen a vision. He's seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming to lay hands on him so that he might receive his sight. And this is what Ananias said. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on his name. The Lord said, go, for he's a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles, the kings, and the children of Israel. I'm going to stop right there. God called Ananias to go do something that Ananias was terrified of, and rightly so. This man, Saul, the only thing they know about him is he's killing Christians. He's killing people that he's taking them back and he's binding them up and he's destroying their lives because of the belief that's in you. But you see the faith in Ananias said, God, if you tell me to do it, I'm going to go do it. Think this thought. If Ananias decided, I ain't doing that. When God tells us to speak to somebody about him, we say, I ain't doing that. We never know how many lives that impacts. Because what if Ananias would have chose not to go? What if Ananias would have said, I'm too scared, I ain't going to do it? Because some of you know, we do have free will, right? God puts things in your life for your plan to do. He gives them to you to do. And you choose to do them or not. Now, if I don't do what I'm supposed to do, God will send somebody else to do it, I'm sure. If Ananias wouldn't have went, somebody else would have come to Paul. God would have gave an opportunity for somebody else to be a part of it. But do you know how many people are changed because of the life, the decision that Ananias made to go and to speak to Saul, who now is Paul, who wrote 2/3 of our New Testament, where we get most of the scriptures from our Lord, from? Because God spoke to him and gave him a ministry that was too difficult, something he was scared of, something he wasn't comfortable with, something that he wasn't sure about doing, but he stepped out in faith, and because of it, millions of lives have been changed. When God speaks to you about doing something, do it. You say, but I'm scared. I don't know if I can. I really don't want to say that. I don't. If God's told you to do it, how many of you know it's going to happen? And if you step out in faith, he's not going to let you sink. If you step out in faith, he's not going to let you fall flat on your face. We need to listen to him. We need to listen to him. I want you guys to work on this week praying dangerous prayers. God, make me bold. God, speak to me. And then allow him time to respond. Allow him time to speak to you. Amen? Amen. I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for today. We thank you that according to your word, you gave your son to die for us so that we could know you. We could have access to you. We could be a part of your family. God, I ask that you would help us with that. I ask that you would let us see you. I ask that you allow us to be quiet, to be still, and to listen for you. Allow us to be able to turn out the world and turn it down so that we can hear you. And allow us to be obedient, Father, so that we can see the ministry take place in our lives that you've called us to, so that we can see change in other people, not so that we can say how great we are and look what we did, but so that we can point to you and say, our God is good. Look what God did, and he allowed me to be a part of it. He allowed me to be a part of it. One of the first times that you'll ever hear him speak to you is very, very quiet. It's something inside of you that says, I need to change. Something's not right. It needs to be different. That's what I talked about a minute ago about repentance. The scripture says that our lives are sinful, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but that God made a way through his son that we could put all those things down. This morning I want to give you an opportunity, heads bowed, eyes closed, you be honest and say, you know what, I've never accepted Christ into my life. I've never received him. And this morning I want that gift that you're talking about. Just put your hand up, put it back down. I need that gift this morning. I need to know him as my Lord and Savior. I need to give him all of my life and not just part of it. Just put your hand up, put it back down. This morning, man, we you need to hear God's voice. You want God to speak to you. Maybe you've never heard his voice, or maybe you've heard it and you haven't listened or haven't been obedient. Or maybe you just want him to speak to you more. That's you, heads bowed, eyes closed. Just put your hand up. God, I want you to speak to me. I want you to speak to me. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, right now, God, you see the hands that went up. Furthermore, God, you know the hearts that raised them. You know their walk with you and where they're at. Father God, you know how well they're accustomed to your voice. God, I ask right now, not just for them, but for everyone that's sitting in this room, Father God, that you would allow us to hear you. You would allow us to know what it feels like to be loved by our Father, to be accepted by our Father, and to be used by you, Father God. I ask this week that you show us in our lives the issues, the sin, the things that are there that need to be taken care of, that we need to let go. Holy Spirit, show us those things that we're clinging on to. We've said with our mouth that we're giving it to God, but then we're holding on as tight as we can. Help us to let go of those things. Help us be who you created us to be. Help us walk in the ministry that you've given to each and every one of us. Use the gifts that you've given to us, God. I ask that you would help us with that now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys stand up, man. We're going to sing a song before we leave. Don't forget, man, all the events we have going on. If you say, well, I can't remember what you said, get the paper. I think they're all right on there this week. If not, you can check out our website or look on our Facebook page and see all the events that are happening and things that are coming. And, hey, get involved. Use the gifts and talents that God's given you. Amen.